Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father who created us, from God the Son who redeemed us, and from God the Holy Spirit who caused us to be born again as the dearly beloved children of God. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, did you know that today, Pentecost Sunday, is the third of the three great festivals in the Christian church year? It's true. Historically, the Christian church has placed the festival of Pentecost on the very same level as Christmas and Easter. Why? Look at it this way. Christmas and Easter remind us and assure us of what the Lord God Almighty has so graciously done for us. Christmas and Easter remind us and assure us that the Son of God Himself came into this world as our true brother to live for us, to die for us, and to rise for us and for our eternal salvation. The festival of Pentecost reminds us and assures us of how all of those wonderful blessings of salvation that Jesus has secured for us now become our own personal possession. With that glorious truth in mind, let's see how our sermon text for this Pentecost Sunday leads us to focus our hearts on the work of the Holy Spirit. There are two things that we want to see today. First of all, let's see how God the Holy Spirit works in us. And then, let's see how God the Holy Spirit works through us. There is one key word here in our text for today that I would like to very clearly bring to your attention this morning. It is the word that is translated as counselor. In the Greek, this is the word paraclete. As a verb, this Greek word means to call to one's side. As a noun, this same Greek word can be translated as counselor, comforter, or helper. As a noun, this Greek word is used 5 times in all of the New Testament scriptures, always by the Apostle John. 4 times, John uses the word paraclete in reference to God the Holy Spirit. And once, John uses the word paraclete in reference to our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we gather together in God's house to celebrate the festival of Pentecost, the festival of the Holy Spirit, let's look at the 4 times that John uses this word in reference to the Holy Spirit so that we can grow. Grow in our understanding, grow in our appreciation for the work of the Holy Spirit. We'll begin with our text for today. John records these words of our Savior. When the Counselor, the Paraclete, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. As we heard in our reading from the book of Acts this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled this promise to his disciples when he sent them the gift of the Holy Spirit on that first New Testament day of Pentecost. Scripture very clearly emphasizes, my friends, that the work of the Holy Spirit is centered on one central activity. As the Spirit of truth, God the Holy Spirit calls people to his side so that he can testify concerning Jesus. That's precisely why Dr. Martin Luther taught us to confess, I believe that I cannot by my own thinking or choosing believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. If it were not for the work of the Holy Spirit in us, we would not and we could not believe, teach, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But how? How does the Holy Spirit work in us? What means, what tool does he use? For that, we turn to two other passages where the Apostle John uses the word paraclete in reference to God the Holy Spirit. First, we'll look at John 14, verse 16 and verse 26. In the upper room, Jesus said to his disciples, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." We live in a world where many, many people are turning to all kinds of counselors and all kinds of helpers to try and guide them through their life. For some people, their guide is measured in dollar signs and material possessions. For other people, their help through life is found in power and popularity. And for still others, the quest for physical pleasure has become the guiding force in their life. People are searching for help, my friends. That's why mediums and spiritists and psychics are still so popular today. That's why there are so many 1-866 numbers. I Googled it. There's a lot. 1-866 numbers where for merely $7 to $13 per minute, a counselor will help you better understand your life as well as yourself. But in the end, each and every one of these counselors will fail, utterly and miserably fail. In the end, each and every one of these so-called guides will make people feel abandoned and empty, used and tossed aside like last Sunday's newspaper. As the counselor, as the helper, as the paraclete, God the Holy Spirit calls us to his side through the power of his holy inspired word, the word that he himself has given to us through the apostles and the prophets. When we are feeling lonely, when we are feeling afraid, when we are feeling overwhelmed by the uncertainty of our future, when we are feeling burdened by the guilt and the failures of our past, when we are facing illness or injury, or even death, what we need to do as the saved and forgiven children of God is to open up this book and listen. Yes, my friends, no matter what situation you or I might find ourselves in, your counselor, your paraclete, calls you to his side through the power of his holy word to comfort you, to guide you, and to strengthen you as you journey through this world. That's why it is so very important for us to maintain regular contact with the Scriptures. This is how God the Holy Spirit works in us each and every day. There is one aspect of the Holy Spirit's work in us, however, that is absolutely necessary, but not always pleasant. In John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, we hear the Lord Jesus say, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict. He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." Part of the work of the Holy Spirit in us is to convict us of the guilt of our sin. When we consciously rebel against the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth by doing something that we know he does not want us to do, or by refusing to do something that we know he does want us to do, when in our weakness we stumble and fall in our walk with the Lord, the Holy Spirit will strive to call us to his side. Then, He will use the power of his holy law to convict us. He might use our conscience to bring us to a realization of our guilt. He might use our parents or our children or a trusted Christian friend to point out our sin. He might use something that is said in a sermon or something that is brought up in Bible class in order to make us feel as though somebody knows what we have done. No matter how he convicts us of our sin, the Holy Spirit always has one goal in mind, and that is to lead people to the cross on Calvary's Hill, the only source of forgiveness. So if, when, the Holy Spirit convicts you of the guilt of your sin, remember this. Remember that he does this because of his tremendous love for you. There is nothing that makes the Holy Spirit happier than when a repentant child of God turns to the cross on Calvary's Hill and trusts in what Jesus has done for them. Once the Holy Spirit has worked in us through the power of his holy word, then we will know. Then we will realize, then we will understand and rejoice in the work that the Holy Spirit does through us. Look at the second verse of our text. Jesus says, "And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." We all know how faithfully Jesus' disciples testified to others about what Jesus the Christ had done for this world. Now, my friends, now it's our turn. Now it's our turn as disciples of Jesus Christ today to tell others about this world's only Savior from sin. And if for any reason we are hesitant to testify, if for any reason we feel unable or unqualified to testify about Jesus, let me remind you of two things. First of all, the Greek word that's translated here in our text as testify, both in connection with the Holy Spirit as well as in connection with us, Jesus' disciples. This Greek word can also be translated as witness. All God has asked us to do is to be his witness in this world. So share with others what Jesus means to you. Share with others what Jesus has done for you. Secondly, remember that Jesus himself has promised us that God the Holy Spirit will be our faithful counselor, our helper, as we testify to others about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is indeed the only counselor, the only helper, the only paraclete that we need, for he is the one who works in others by working through us. In some ways, it is rather unfortunate that the festival of Pentecost does not receive the same kind of emphasis today as Christmas and Easter. At the same time, it's perfectly understandable. As the shy member of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit does not want the spotlight shined on himself. Whether it is the work that the Holy Spirit does in us or the work that the Holy Spirit does through us, his goal is to always keep people focused on the cross of this world's only Savior from sin. My prayer then today, my friends, on this glorious Pentecost Sunday, is that we will always strive to do whatever we can to make the Holy Spirit smile. Make him smile by consciously maintaining contact with the Holy Word that he himself has given to us. Make him smile by consciously focusing your heart and your life on the cross of Calvary's Hill. Make him smile as you testify, as you witness to others about Jesus. To God be the glory. Amen.